earlier, before the Acts period, God had promised Israel something, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now, he's not saying I'm making you a kingdom of priests now. He says you shall be. That's out in the future sometime. Hasn't happened yet. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Was he talking to us? Was he talking to Egypt? He was talking only to Israel in Exodus through Moses. And some of the time Moses had to speak through Aaron. He said, I can't speak, Lord. He missed out on a lot. But anyway, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There's the kingdom being promised. So you get down to John the Baptist, and he says that kingdom is at hand. Well, the kingdom was just for the Jews. And so when the Lord came on the scene and started drawing people to him, he selected 12 in verses Matthew 10, 1 through 4. He selects 12 disciples to be his apostles, sent out ones. Apostello means to be a sent out one. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, that's just like what Exodus 19:6 says. It's going to be Israel that's going to be a kingdom of priests over the Gentiles. And here he says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So he's preparing. He's getting ready for this kingdom to come in. He's doing his part. Waiting for Israel to receive him, do their part, and receive their Messiah. And into the any city of the Samaritans go ye not. So those, you got to keep that in mind, because when Peter visited Cornelius, that whole visit was a reversal of Matthew 10:5, of the purifying of those who would be in the kingdom, that it would be Jews only running the kingdom. And now, remember, Acts 10 is after Acts 7. Acts 7 is where Stephen was stoned and Israel blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the words coming out of Stephen's mouth. They killed him because of it. And so in Acts 10, in these events, the Lord is showing Israel, you know, you can minister to the Gentiles again. Gentiles that are seeking God, that are seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God, that are blessing Israel, they can have this gospel that Peter talks about. If you look in Acts 10, and we'll get to Acts 15 in a minute here. Let me find it. I think it's 35. Yeah, 35. It says right there, their gospel includes works. Ours doesn't. Ours is must exclude works, according to Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. But in Acts 10:35, in every nation he that feareth him, and trust is involved in that, knowing who God is and his power and his ability to save you or to damn you, in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, don't stop there. Go on to the next verse. The word which God sent unto the Gentiles, preaching, whoops, that's not what it says. Who did God send that word to? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That peace is coming in the millennium when Christ returns to earth to rule the world from the land. Now, you know, it's now under various governments of this world. Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, they're all squatting on God's property. And they'll be removed at some time in the future after we are caught up to be with the Lord. But that's the thing. This is this Acts 10 visit to Cornelius by Peter is God reversing the purifying of who can be in the kingdom that he started in Matthew 10, verse 5, toward the beginning of his ministry. So, when you look in Acts 15, well, what's happening? This is, I think you're still with me. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Acts 15. And Luke wrote, let's see, I'm not sure. Well, Luke wrote it, but I'm trying to think where it is. That's in Luke 16, I think, where he joins them. So this is what he has scouted out as a historian and a writer. He says, certain men which came down from Judea, in other words, some of those Jews from the Jerusalem area that had been scattered, apparently, because it mentions from Judea rather than from Jerusalem, they taught the brethren and said, what I want us to see is that it's Paul's body of Christ believers there that in Antioch that these Jews came down to and said, except you be circumcised in the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So they were trying to they hadn't heard of the mystery of Christ, apparently, that they were trying to Judaize, I guess you would say, the body of Christ believers there, no matter, you know, without bringing into question when they became believers in Paul's gospel. But Paul's gospel doesn't include works. I mentioned before, maybe I should post it, I guess, Romans 4 or 5. There's no works. And we just read in Acts 10:35 that Israel's doctrine does include works. You must work righteousness. But for Paul in the mystery of Christ, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. It's one or the other, in other words. They're mutually exclusive. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Ungodly. Not who's good enough, but those who aren't good enough and know it. They fall on the mercy, on the grace of the Lord. His faith in what God promised us, salvation, that's 1 Corinthians 15:3, that we're saved by believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. His faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, so in Acts 15:1, these people are saying it's not just a faith, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep the law. Where is that verse? Acts 15:1, the second verse up there. Now my mouse is freezing. Or somebody's tampering with it. I don't know what's up. Acts 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you believed. If I can get this on verse 2, we'll post it. There we go. Lag. You're getting lag too? Okay. I guess it's because I've got the mic. I'll try to get this between the lines here where I can click the insertion point. No, I don't have... All right, just a second. I've got paste here. If I can get on top of it. Click. Go. It's not posting. Let me see if I can get the mouse over here. This, the escape button, that should have gone up by now into the text, into the room. Can still hear me. I've got a grayed out screen. Ah, come on. Can anyone hear me now? Looks like I got reconnected. Some of these things that are popping up, closed down. I must have a virus or something. Any sound? I heard a beep.
I guess it's too late. I had some questions, just out of curiosity's sakes, but we can go back to discussing if Mike has sound. Mike is free.
I'm glad to hear some participation. I've got sound. Okay, all right. Let me see if I can get this locked on. It wouldn't lock on before. Those with questions, you can go ahead and raise your hands for whoever they're for. I was going to go through these first 15 or so verses of Acts, and when you go through and just believe what they say and without preconceived ideas, it pretty well tells who's talking about what. I mean, who it was that was sent to the Gentiles, what Gentiles they were sent to, etc. So let's go. I don't think I was able to post verse 2 before my computer conked out. Verse 2, Acts 15:2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, with those Jews that came down from Judea, telling them they had to be circumcised to be saved and obey the law, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders. See, at this point it's not the apostles, it's the apostles and elders. Some changing going on there. About this question. So they went, well, let's see what the verse 3 says. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Remember in Acts 13 that we just studied with Steve Gottberg, in Acts 14, they went synagogue after synagogue, teaching them that the gospel of God, and when they would believe the gospel of God, like in Acts 17, Acts 18, Thessalonica, Corinth, they would meet together. At one time was at a hall called the Hall of, what was it, Tyrannus Hall, or School of Tyrannus, I think it was. One time was in the house built hard against the synagogue, but they would meet together. They would be expelled from the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. John 16:2, John 9:22, and 12:42. Three places that tells they'll be kicked out of the synagogue if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of God. So being brought on the way, they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, and caused great joy unto all the brethren. Well, the Gentiles were those Greeks in the synagogues that believed Paul's gospel. Some of them, even if they didn't believe Paul's gospel yet or hadn't heard it for some reason, they believed the gospel of God, that Jesus was their Messiah, instead of believing that he was not their Messiah. That's a big change. It's a turnaround, it's a change of mind. That's why, you know, Paul at least one place calls it repentance at that time for them in the dispensation of the gospel when he was beginning to spread the gospel, dispense it, testify to them the gospel of salvation. It's a transition process. Verse 4. So Paul and them went up, Paul and Barnabas, and I think certain other of them. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. So it tells them all about the journeys in Iconium, Lystra, all through there, in Acts 13 and 14. Him being killed, you know, stoned to death, as the law said for them to do, stone until dead. And then he was raised up again. Receiving the church, declared all things. So verse 5 we want. We're almost to 7 here. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So these are the ones from Judea. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they had been Pharisees. And they I don't know, you know, all it says is they were of the sect of the Pharisees. That's of means they came from. They came out of the Pharisees. They believed in saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Well, it was in this meeting, it was not until this meeting that they knew about it. I mean, if you look at the parallel passage in Galatians 2, verses 1 through 10, you can see that was verse 2. Christ reveals to Paul he should go down to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem, and make known unto them. Communicate, it says. Communicate unto them that gospel which you preach. He was saying it in the first person when Paul said it, though. That gospel which I preach. And in verse 6, Galatians 2, 6 says that the church in Jerusalem didn't add anything to it. They understood that it was not by works. It was not by circumcision or, you know, good works that you're saved. But that was this same meeting. They were just finding it out sooner, you know, either at the beginning or end. Paul said in Galatians 2 that they did it, secretly, covert. I forget the term there. Galatians 2:9. Whoever remembers it can insert it there in the text. But so that they would not labor in vain or whatever. You know what? I guess I better find it here. Galatians 2. Communicate unto them. Privately. That gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Yeah. So, they were just finding that out. So these two that rose up from the circumcision, from the Judea area, of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, they did believe, they had come part way, they had believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They were saying that it was needful to be circumcised and to commanded them to keep the law of Moses. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. That might have been when Paul revealed to them the gospel that Christ had revealed to him, that he had been teaching throughout there in Acts 13:38 through the end of 14. Verse 7, so they listened to him, and then when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice, this would have been probably, 10 years or so before, God made choice among us that by my mouth, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Well, Peter hadn't heard Paul's gospel yet, so all he had was the gospel of the circumcision, you know, to believe the covenants that God had made with Israel. Yeah, really. We just went through the verses that shows that they hadn't heard Paul's gospel yet. He only had Peter's gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says it's the gospel that calls us. We're called by the gospel. Which gospel are you called by? Well, you're not called to build an ark. You know, we went through that before. The gospel of building an ark to be saved from the flood was to Noah. We're called by the gospel of the grace of God today. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Believe that Christ died for your sins and you're saved. That he rose from the dead and you're saved. That's part of the gospel of God, the resurrection part. But the salvation part is to believe that Christ died for your sins. Your sins are died for. They're not still hanging on you. Your sins are died for. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. So, yeah, and that is something to be thankful for. It's grace. God did it because his nature, I don't like that word, because he doesn't have a nativity. God himself, the Son of God, when he joined with mankind through Mary, the Son of God had a nativity there in September 2nd, last 2 weeks of September. So, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So the gospel they heard was Peter's gospel. They were to believe. Well, where do we find Peter going to all the Gentiles? We don't. What Gentiles do we find Peter going to? That would be Cornelius' household. It was Peter's gospel, right, the gospel that Peter preached. You want to find that? Look in Acts 2, 22 to 38. Look in Acts 3, what is it, about verse 15 through verse 21. He tells what the gospel is. He preaches the gospel. The gospel for Peter. You know, the gospel is, well, let me get through these. I was going to go to what the word of truth is, that there's a word of truth for us that believe Paul's gospel. And there is a different word of truth that James 1:18 talks about and explains in James 2:24, that, well, the verses preceding it too, but that they are required to do good works as part of their salvation. Israel is. James writes to Israel. And you, that's where we started this loop of conversation here, that you had said that Jews are Gentiles. Well, then why would they be called Jews? Gentiles are non-Jews. How can you have Jews and those who are not Jews being Jews? There's something wrong in that reasoning there. Let's see here. Welcome to the room, those that have come in. Let me go on past 7. Let's go on down through 14 or 15. So we read 7. Acts 15:7, Acts 15:8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them. Is that talking that them? Is that us? All Gentiles, the Holy Ghost, as He did even to us. There is no time when when Paul was sent to all people after Acts 20 that all the Gentiles had gifts of the Holy Ghost, or speaking in tongues, or healings. That was a sign of the kingdom, the purity of the kingdom, that there be no blemishes in the kingdom. That didn't happen. It only happened there in Acts 10 and 11 when Peter went to Cornelius. That's what he's talking about in verse 7. The Peter's visit to Cornelius. Not us being like them, or the Gentiles today being like the Jews that God courted all through the Old Testament, from Exodus to 7 on through there. Exodus 4, actually, I guess. So, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, between those of us that were, this is Peter talking now, those of us that were in Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit came on us, those of us in Acts 4:31, the rest of them besides the apostles upon whom the Holy Spirit came on, that's the us. Well, who's the them? The ones that we just identified that God had sent Peter to. They were Gentiles, the sort of Gentiles that blesses God, blesses Israel, seeks the wisdom and knowledge of God. Those at Cornelius' household. Puts no difference between us, Peter, and them, Cornelius, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying, making one without imperfection in there. Their hearts were purified by faith that Paul, just as an example, Paul didn't have that faith. He had the rest of the stuff, the covenants, the commandments, keeping the law, keeping the Sabbath, all that stuff he had. But when it came to the faith, believing that Jesus was the Messiah, he failed there until after his salvation on the road to Damascus. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Let's get down. We want to get through about 14 or 15, where the question arose. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved, shall be saved, even as they. Well, we don't believe we shall be saved because we're already saved. The Bible says you are saved. Once you believe the gospel that Paul preached, let me post it so you're not believing Mike McGlathery. You're believing what Paul was inspired of Jesus Christ to say. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you will be saved? No, not you will be saved. It's by grace you are saved. Getting a PM here. Let me just move it to the side for a minute. Okay. So that's 2:5. We're at Acts 15:11, going to 12. So you can see there's a difference there. God is love. He loves those that He died for. He died for all people. But some of them are going to have to go to hell. That doesn't mean God isn't love, or when God exercises love, that He's talking about a particular love. Same with grace. God is gracious as part of his character, his attributes, his being. But it's not necessarily referring to the gospel of the grace of God, which is a specific title given to the grace, to the gospel that we believe today. So But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We, disciples, Peter, James, John, even as they, Cornelius, his wife, his friends, the household there at Cornelius. That's the only time that Peter is recorded as ever going to a house of a Gentile, or ministering to a Gentile, preaching to a Gentile. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Paul, to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Well, this is before Acts 20. God was still providing signs for Israel. Israel said, "Where are our signs?" In Psalms, this I think 74:10 or so, they needed signs. Acts John 4:48 says, "Without signs you will not believe." 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Jews require a sign. So the Lord provided signs through one of the five types of signs was to provide for Israel signs among those in the body of Christ believing Paul's gospel. At that time, while he was still courting individual Jews to respond to the gospel, that some of them to respond to Paul's gospel, according to Romans 11:5-6, the remnant according to the election of or choice of grace, and some still believing, they'd probably already heard the gospel of circumcision before Israel had fallen and hadn't decided. And they were coming in, according to 1 Corinthians 7:17-20, especially verse 18. 1 Corinthians 7:18 shows that by the time 1 Corinthians was written in Acts 19, that they were... There were still people being called into Israel, into a belief in the covenants and the commandments. And additionally, the belief that Jesus is their Messiah, would have been their Messiah. They're not. The gospel of the circumcision no longer says that the kingdom is at hand. It wasn't at hand anymore. It was like it is now, off in the future, when God chooses to fulfill his promises to Israel. So we got to 12:13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Verse 14. This is what the question was about, as I recall. Simon, or Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That wording sounds like he's talking about when he called Abraham. But that's not what he's saying, is it? He's saying the same situation as was being discussed through that whole context. Peter going to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. And just those Gentiles, the Gentiles of his family that gathered there, and his friends, it says. So it could have been a crowded house. You know, I don't know how many people would fit in your house. Depends on the size of the house, but probably 25, 40, I don't know. 40 would be crowded here. But that's the extent of it. It's not in no way a gospel for all Gentiles. So verse 15, I think that passes it. That's past the. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. That's Jewish. That's not the body of Christ, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof and set. And will set it up. That's around the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he's preparing for the kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom. That's yet to happen. And the residue of men might... The residue is what's left, isn't it? After the catching up of the body of Christ, there will be a residue of men that they might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.